Hey everybody, so we've been really digging into this whole idea of educational frameworks. You know, like what they are, why they matter, and how they kind of help us connect all this theory with what actually happens in a classroom.
In the real world, right?
Exactly.
That's a big topic.
It is.
But that's what we love to do
I know
here.
that's why we're here, right? A deep
A
dive
deep dive.
together.
Absolutely. It's a really fascinating area,
Okay.
just full of these like tensions and insights,
Oh, I love that.
you know. And one of the things we talk about all the time is this
Yeah.
gap between research and practice.
For sure.
And that's actually exactly what Gary Ackerman tackles
Oh, cool.
in one of his pieces called Frameworks Defined.
Oh.
We're looking at excerpts from that today.
Awesome.
And I think you're going to find some really thought-provoking ideas here.
Ooh, thought-provoking, my favorite.
I know, right?
So Ackerman talks about this disconnect between scholars and educators. And he says, you know, scholars love their controlled environments where they can break things down into these, you know, nice, neat little variable.
Little boxes.
Yeah, exactly. But as anybody who's ever set foot in a classroom knows, that's not reality.
That is not how it works.
Is it?
No, not at all. It's like John Dewey said,
Yeah.
you know, classrooms are just like bursting with all these like unpredictable factors.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ackerman actually calls this the difference between like tame problems
Okay.
and wicked problems.
Okay.
So tame problems are like those nice, neat science experiments.
Right.
You control the variables, you get
Yeah.
a clear answer.
Easy peasy.
But classrooms,
Yeah.
no, those are full of wicked problems.
Okay.
The messy ones.
Gotcha.
Multifaceted
Okay.
and like resistant to simple solutions.
Yeah, I'm getting that.
You
So
know?
that's interesting. So it's like, imagine you're a teacher and you're trying to implement like project-based learning, but you're getting pushback from parents who are worried about standardized test scores. That's a wicked problem in action, right?
Totally.
It's like all these different perspectives,
Absolutely.
no easy answers, and it makes all those like nice research studies seem a world away,
A world away.
don't they?
Totally. And that's where frameworks come in. They kind of give us a way to acknowledge that complexity,
Right.
but still identify
Yeah.
some key elements
Oh, okay.
that influence teaching and learning
Got
across
it.
different settings. So it's like
Yeah.
instead of trying to boil the
All
ocean,
right.
we're making a map to help us navigate it.
I like that. That's a good analogy.
Thanks.
Yeah. And this is where the idea of like dimensions
Okay.
becomes important.
Dimensions.
Yeah. So think of dimensions as like the building blocks
Okay.
of a framework.
They help us kind of break down
Yeah.
a complicated
Oh,
concept
right.
into smaller pieces,
More manageable
more
pieces.
manageable
Right,
pieces.
right. Okay, so if education is our vast ocean,
Okay.
the dimensions might be things like
Yeah.
curriculum, assessment, teacher training,
Yeah.
you know, those big categories that help us
Right.
make sense of the whole picture.
Precisely. And, you know, scholars like Curtis Bonk and Vanessa Denon,
Okay.
they've pointed out that frameworks with really clear dimensions
Right,
can be
yeah.
super helpful for communication.
Okay.
So suddenly, everyone from researchers to teachers to policymakers,
Yeah.
they're all speaking the same language.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I like that a lot.
It can be really powerful.
So I'm starting to see how this could be helpful, not just for academics, but for anyone involved in education.
Absolutely.
But you know, you mentioned earlier that not all frameworks are created equal. What makes a good framework then?
Well, according to Andrew Dillon,
Okay.
he's a scholar, there are four key characteristics
All right.
we should look for.
I'm ready.
Okay, so we have accuracy,
Okay.
relative non-complexity,
Right.
suitable genericism,
Okay.
and modifiability.
Those are some big
I know,
words.
right? They sound very academic,
Yeah.
but they're actually really important.
Okay, well, let's break them down.
Okay.
Starting with accuracy.
Right.
Seems pretty straightforward. You know, a framework should accurately reflect what's happening in the world of education, but didn't we just say that education is full of these messy, wicked problems?
Wicked problems.
Like, how do we even define accuracy when things are so subjective?
That's a great question. And it's true that like perfect accuracy
Okay.
might be a little bit elusive,
Right.
you know, when we're dealing with the complexities
Yeah.
of human behavior and learning environments.
Right.
But a good framework should at least strive to be grounded
Okay.
in empirical observations
Gotcha.
and open to scrutiny and revision
Okay.
as new evidence emerges.
So it's less about like capturing every single detail and more about identifying those core principles and patterns that hold true despite all the variation, those like underlying truths that can guide our understanding.
Yeah, think of it as aiming for like useful accuracy.
Useful accuracy.
Rather than absolute certainty.
I like that. Yeah. Useful accuracy.
It's a good one.
Adding that to my list.
All right.
Okay, so what about this?
Yeah.
Next characteristic, relatively non-complex.
Yes.
I don't know why, but when I think of academic frameworks, my mind goes to like these dense research papers packed with jargon.
Full of jargon.
And frameworks need to be like the opposite of that.
Absolutely. Clarity and accessibility are so essential.
Right, because we want...
We want busy teachers, administrators, policymakers to be able to understand and apply these frameworks.
To actually use them.
To actually use them, right? It's about distilling those complex ideas into their most like essential and understandable forms.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I do have to push back a little here.
Okay.
I totally get the need for simplicity.
Yeah.
But I'm also a little wary of oversimplifying things.
Right.
So how do we strike that balance, you know, between making a framework clear and accessible, but without sacrificing its depth and nuance?
You've hit on a key challenge here.
Okay.
In framework design.
All right.
It is a delicate balancing act.
Okay.
We want to avoid overwhelming people.
Right.
With jargon
yeah.
and technicalities.
Right.
But we also don't want to create frameworks that are so simplistic.
Right.
That they fail to capture the richness and complexity of real world classrooms.
So it's not about dumbing things down.
Right.
But it's about finding that sweet spot where it's sophisticated enough to be meaningful, but clear enough to be usable.
Exactly. It's about elegant simplicity.
Elegant simplicity.
Not simplistic reductionism.
Ooh, elegant simplicity.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm adding that to my list too.
All right.
All right, on to the next one.
Okay.
Suitably generic.
Yes.
This one makes me think about trying to fit a square peg into a round hole.
How so?
Well, imagine we create a framework.
Okay.
That only works for, let's say, teaching third grade math in rural Montana.
Okay.
It might be accurate and clear.
Right.
But it wouldn't be very helpful for anybody outside of that very specific context.
You're exactly right. That's why suitably generic is so important.
Gotcha.
Frameworks need to be flexible enough.
Okay.
To be adapted and applied across different grade levels, subjects, and educational settings.
Okay.
The goal is to create a tool.
Yeah.
That can benefit educators.
Right.
In a wide range of situations.
Not just a select few.
Not just a select few.
All right. And that brings us to our last characteristic, modifiable.
Yes. This is a crucial one.
Ooh.
So unlike scientific theories.
Okay.
Which tend to stay the same.
Uh-huh.
Until there's overwhelming evidence.
Right.
To like warrant revision.
Yeah.
Educational frameworks need to be more fluid.
Oh, okay.
And adaptable.
So they need to evolve as our understanding of teaching and learning evolves.
Absolutely. As new technologies emerge.
Right.
And as the educational landscape shifts.
Constantly changing.
Constantly changing.
Wow.
Yeah. So think of them as like living documents.
Okay.
Constantly being refined and updated to reflect new knowledge and insights.
So it's almost like having a set of blueprints.
Yeah.
But you're free to customize the design to fit your specific needs and context.
Frameworks should be tools to empower, not to dictate.
I like that.
They provide a starting point, a foundation to build upon.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's up to educators to adapt and apply them in ways that make sense.
That makes sense.
For their own unique situations.
Okay. I'm really starting to see the value.
Yeah.
In all of this.
I think it's really powerful.
Yeah. We've talked about the key characteristics of a good framework, but I'm curious to see how they actually play out.
Yeah.
You know, in practice.
In the real world.
Are there any real world examples
of
frameworks that you think embody these principles?
There are tons of examples.
Okay.
But one that comes to mind
is
the TPAC framework.
Okay.
Which stands for Technological Pedagogical Content Knowledge.
TPAC.
TPAC.
Yeah. I've heard that term thrown around.
It's a popular one.
What's so special about it?
Well, TPAC has become like really influential in helping educators effectively integrate technology.
Oh.
Into their teaching.
Gotcha.
It recognizes that you can't just throw technology into a classroom.
Right.
And expect it to like magically improve learning.
Not a magic bullet.
It's not a magic bullet.
So it's not enough to just know how to use the technology itself.
Exactly.
You also need to understand.
You need to understand how it connects to the content you're teaching.
Right.
And the best ways to use it.
Yeah.
To support student learning.
It's a lot more than just
a lot more
knowing how to turn the thing on.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what the TPACK framework helps us do.
Okay.
It gives us a way to analyze and plan
right.
for that integration
uh-huh.
by considering like the interplay
okay.
between technology, pedagogy, and content knowledge.
So instead of just asking what technology should we use, we're also asking
how should we use it?
Right.
And why are we using it?
Okay. So TPACK encourages us to be
more intentional and thoughtful about our use of technology in the classroom.
Okay.
Making sure that it's actually enhancing teaching and learning rather than just adding another layer of
complexity. Right. Because sometimes it feels like
it can
just another thing. Another thing to learn.
Exactly. And so the TPACK framework is like a roadmap.
Gotcha.
For navigating the world of educational technology.
Right.
It helps teachers make informed decisions about how to use technology in a way that's like meaningful and purposeful.
Meaningful and purposeful.
Exactly.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. And it's a great example of a framework that's both accurate, relatively non-complex.
Right.
Suitably generic.
Okay.
And modifiable.
All right. So it hits all the points.
Yeah, it hits all the points.
So it's grounded in solid research.
Yes.
Easy to understand and apply.
Okay.
It can be used
across different
grade levels.
Grade levels, subject areas.
And it's constantly being refined.
Yes. Always being refined.
Wow. That's impressive.
It's a good one.
I'm starting to see how these frameworks can be really powerful tools.
They absolutely can be. And it's important to remember
that
frameworks aren't just for researchers or policy makers.
Yeah, right.
They can be incredibly valuable for anyone involved in education.
So teachers.
Teachers, administrators, parents.
Yeah, because at the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
We all share the same goal, right?
Right.
Creating the best possible.
Our best possible learning experience.
No learning experiences for students.
For students, exactly.
And frameworks can help us work together.
They can.
More effectively.
Yes.
Towards that goal.
Absolutely.
By providing a common language
right.
and a shared understanding.
For shared understanding.
You know, to bridge those gaps that often exist.
That often exist.
Between different stakeholders in education.
For sure.
It's like that old saying.
What's that?
If you want to go fast, go alone.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go far, go together.
I love that.
Frameworks can definitely help us go far together.
I think so.
Creating positive and lasting change.
Yes.
This has been so insightful.
Good.
I feel like I'm already starting to look at
educational
challenges and opportunities through a different lens.
That's fantastic. It's amazing how like a simple framework can help us reframe our thinking.
Totally.
And open up new possibilities.
Before we move on, though, I do have one more question.
Okay.
About this idea of grounding frameworks. In empirical observations, does that mean that they're purely objective?
Okay.
Like a scientific formula?
That's an excellent question.
Okay.
And it brings up a really important point.
Right.
While frameworks should certainly be based on research.
Yeah.
And evidence.
Right.
We can't ignore the subjective nature of education.
Because teaching and learning involve human beings.
Human beings.
With all their complexities.
With all of their
individual differences.
Exactly. So while a framework might identify, you know, key principles or dimensions, the way those principles are interpreted and applied will always be influenced by the values, beliefs, and experiences
of the individuals involved.
Of the individuals involved, exactly.
So it's not about plugging in numbers into a formula.
No.
There's an art to using framework.
That's an art to
an element of human judgment.
Yes.
And interpretation.
Absolutely. It's about finding that balance between the objective and the subjective, the universal and the contextual.
So frameworks provide a structure, a starting point.
A starting point.
But it's up to us to bring our own insights and experience.
Sitting at the table.
It's like having a map,
right?
But you still need to use your compass and your judgment.
You got it.
To navigate the terrain.
Perfect analogy. And that's where the real magic happens.
Ooh, I like that.
When we combine the power of frameworks with the wisdom and creativity of educators.
That's when we can truly transform.
We can transform.
Teaching and learning.
Teaching and learning.
I love that. So frameworks don't replace human judgment.
They don't.
They enhance it.
They enhance it.
They provide a compass.
A compass.
To help us navigate the complexity of education.
Very well said.
Well, I think that's a great place to pause.
I agree.
We've covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah.
Exploring the power of frameworks,
mm-hmm.
their key characteristics,
yes.
and how they can be used
right.
to enhance teaching and learning.
Absolutely.
And we've only just scratched the surface.
We've only just begun.
There's so much more to discover about specific frameworks
right.
and how they're being used in various educational contexts.
In all sorts of contexts.
Which brings us to a question for you.
Ooh, a question.
Thinking about your own role
yeah.
in education.
Mm-hmm.
How might you use this idea of frameworks to analyze a specific challenge or opportunity you're facing?
Right. What dimensions would be most relevant?
What dimensions would be most relevant?
To your context.
To your context.
Yeah. And how might a framework help you see things?
In a new light.
In a new light.
Ooh. I like that.
Right. These are questions worth pondering.
Yes, they are.
And I encourage you to continue your exploration of this fascinating topic.
It is fascinating.
It is.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe our next deep dive
Ooh.
Will take us into the world
I like it.
Of a specific educational framework.
Right.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. And, you know, one of the things I think is so cool about frameworks is that they aren't like set in stone.
Right.
You know, they can grow and change.
Right.
As we learn and adapt.
I like that.
Yeah.
So much of education feels like it's trying to fit into this
one
size fits all box. So it's refreshing to think about these frameworks being flexible and evolving.
It's about embracing the dynamic nature of education.
Yeah.
Right. We're constantly learning and adapting.
Yeah.
Our frameworks should reflect that.
For sure.
And, you know, this inherent adaptability also allows for different perspective.
Okay.
And interpretations. There's no right way to use a framework.
Yeah.
What matters is that it provides a useful lens.
For analyzing.
For analyzing and improving.
And improving our practice.
Exactly.
So it's like a starting point.
A starting point.
A foundation.
A foundation for.
Reflection.
Reflection and growth.
And growth. Okay.
Precisely.
I like that.
A good framework encourages educators to really examine their own contexts.
Right.
To identify those dimensions that are most relevant.
Okay.
To their unique challenges and goals.
So it's like having a set of blueprints.
Okay.
But with the freedom to customize the design.
I love that analogy.
To fit your specific needs.
It's all about taking those core principles and making them work for you in your classroom with your students.
Yeah. Okay, so we've been talking about frameworks broadly.
Yes.
But are there any real world examples? Oh, there are tons.
Of how these concepts.
How these concepts play out.
Play out in education.
In education, yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking that we've talked about all these theoretical ideas.
Right.
But I'm ready to see some action. Yeah. How are these frameworks actually being used by educators?
Well, one example is the TPACK framework.
Okay.
We touched on it earlier, but it's worth revisiting.
You mean the one that stands for technological, pedagogical, content knowledge?
That's the one.
TPP. I'm still wrapping my head around.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
All those words.
It is.
But as the name implies,
it
focuses on this intersection of...
technology.
Technology.
Pedagogy.
Pedagogy.
And content knowledge.
Okay.
It acknowledges that you can't just plop technology into a classroom and expect miracles.
Right. It's not just a magic bullet.
Not a magic bullet.
You need a plan.
You need a plan, a purpose.
A purpose.
It's got to connect with what you're teaching and how you're teaching it.
Yeah. You have to think about.
You do.
How it all fits together.
Exactly. And the TPACK framework provides a structured way to analyze and plan for that integration.
Yeah.
It helps teachers make deliberate choices about which technologies to use.
Right.
How to use them effectively.
Right.
And why they're using them.
The why is so important.
The why is crucial.
So it's not just about the what.
It's not just about the what.
Of technology.
Right.
But the how and the why.
The how and the why. Yes.
It's about being purposeful.
Being purposeful. Exactly.
I can see how a framework like that could be so valuable.
It can be.
For teachers.
Yeah.
It's like having a guidebook for navigating this often overwhelming world
It can be overwhelming.
Of educational technology.
It really can.
Yeah, and that's just one example.
Just one example.
There are frameworks for...
For all sorts of areas.
All sorts of areas.
In education.
Okay.
Assessment curriculum design.
Uh-huh.
Professional development leadership.
Wow.
The possibilities are vast.
It's like having a whole toolkit.
A toolkit
of lenses.
With lenses.
Yes. You view and understand.
To view and understand the complexity.
The complexities of education.
What's education?
This has been so eye-opening.
Good. I'm glad.
I feel like I have a much clearer grasp
That's great.
On what frameworks are and why they matter.
Awesome.
But I do have one more nagging question.
All right.
Ackerman mentioned that frameworks should be grounded in empirical observations.
Right.
So does that make them purely objective?
That's a fantastic question.
Okay.
And it raises a really important point.
Right.
So while research and evidence are essential foundations, we can't discount the subjective nature of education.
Right. Because classrooms aren't labs.
No, they're not.
We're dealing with real people.
Real
students and teachers.
Students and teachers.
With our own unique.
With all their own.
Experiences, beliefs, emotions.
Exactly. So while a framework might identify key principles.
Right.
Or dimensions.
Uh-huh.
The way those principles are interpreted and applied.
Right.
Will always be shaped.
By the human element.
By the human element, yes.
So it's not just about plugging in numbers.
It's not.
Or following a rigid set of rules.
A rigid set of rules, no.
There's an art to using frameworks.
An art to it.
An element of human judgment and interpretation.
Absolutely. It's about finding that balance between the objective and the subjective, the universal, and the contextual.
So frameworks.
Frameworks provide a structure.
A structure.
A starting point.
A starting point. But it's up to us to bring our own...
To bring our own...
Insights and experiences to the table.
To the table, yes.
So they offer guidance, but offer guidance.
They don't dictate practice.
They don't dictate practice.
Okay, this conversation has really shifted my perspective.
I'm glad.
I used to see them as rigid and prescriptive, but now I understand their potential for flexibility.
Flexibility.
Adaptability. Adaptability.
And ultimately, empowerment.
That's a wonderful insight.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that frameworks are tools to help us navigate complexity.
Yeah.
Not to constrain us.
Right.
They can actually be quite liberating.
Liberating.
When used effectively.
I'm starting to see that frameworks can help us break free from old patterns.
Old patterns.
Challenge assumptions.
Challenge assumptions.
And explore new possibilities.
Yes.
In our teaching.
That's the spirit. Education should be about continuous growth exploration and a willingness to embrace new perspectives.
Yeah.
Frameworks can be powerful allies in that journey.
They provide a compass.
A compass.
To guide us through.
To guide us through.
This ever-changing landscape.
The ever-changing landscape of education.
Of education.
Allowing us to stay focused on what truly matters.
What matters most.
Nurturing deep, meaningful learning.
Yes.
For all students.
Beautifully said.
And I think that's a perfect note to transition into our next thought.
All right.
We spent some time unpacking the what and the why.
Of frameworks.
Of frameworks.
Yes.
Now I think it's time to get a bit more concrete.
All right.
And explore the how.
The how. I like that.
Yeah.
We've laid the foundation.
You've laid the foundation.
I'm eager to dive deeper into the practical applications.
Practical applications.
Of these frameworks.
How can our listeners?
Yeah. How can they?
Actually start using them.
Using these things.
In their own work.
Yeah.
Well, one of the most powerful ways.
Okay.
To leverage frameworks is to use them as a lens for analyzing specific challenges or opportunities.
Opportunities, all right.
So let's shift gears and walk through a scenario together.
I'm ready. Let's put these frameworks to work.
All right, let's do it.
And see what insights they can reveal.
Let's see what we can find.
All right, so let's say I'm a teacher.
Okay.
And I'm feeling overwhelmed by all the new technology that's available for my classroom. Oh. There are apps for everything.
It feels like it.
You know, interactive whiteboards, online learning platforms.
Yeah, no.
It's hard to know where to even begin.
That's a really common scenario these days.
It is.
It's so easy to get caught up in all the hype.
Right.
And feel this pressure.
Yeah.
To use every shiny new tool that comes along.
Right.
But a framework can help. Cut through the noise and focus on what matters.
So how would I actually use a framework
Okay.
to tackle this check overload problem?
Well, let's think back to the TPAC framework we were talking about before.
Okay.
It reminds us that technology should always serve a pedagogical purpose.
Right. Not just technology for technology's sake.
Exactly.
So instead of starting with the technology,
yeah.
we should start by identifying a specific learning goal.
A learning goal or a challenge.
Or a challenge that we're facing.
That you're facing.
In the classroom.
In your classroom.
Okay, so for example,
yeah.
maybe I'm struggling to get my students engaged in writing assignments.
Right.
You know, they just don't seem motivated to put pen to paper.
Or fingers to keyboard.
Or fingers to keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect example. So now, with that goal in mind, you can start exploring different technologies that might help you address that challenge.
All right. So instead of
just
randomly trying apps.
Yeah, trying out apps.
We're using the framework.
You're using the framework
to guide our decisions.
To guide your decision making.
So I might ask myself,
yeah,
are there any digital tools that could make writing more interactive and engaging?
More interactive and engaging.
For my students.
For your students.
Or could I use technology to provide them more personalized feedback?
Personalized feedback and support.
And support.
Exactly. You're using the TPAC framework.
Okay.
To align the technology choices with your pedagogical goals.
Right.
And your content knowledge.
Okay. So it's like having a filter.
It is like having a filter.
Just to sift through all the options.
You just sift through all those options.
Sure, choose the ones.
And choose the ones that are most likely.
That will actually make a difference.
To make a real difference in your teaching.
And that's just one example.
One small example.
Frameworks can be applied to...
to all sorts of challenges.
All sorts of challenges.
From designing engaging lessons to creating a more inclusive classroom.
Absolutely.
It's like they give you a new set of glasses.
I like that.
To see things through.
Yeah, a new lens.
And the more you use these frameworks...
Yeah, the more you use them.
The more instinctive that lens becomes.
The more instinctive they become.
You start naturally thinking.
You start naturally thinking.
About those key dimensions.
About the key dimensions and principles.
And principles.
In everything you do.
It's like developing a new...
It is like developing a new mental muscle.
Mental muscle.
Yeah. And just like any muscle.
It gets stronger.
It gets stronger with practice.
With practice.
The more you use these frameworks to analyze, reflect.
Make decisions.
Make decisions, the more confident and effective you'll become.
As an educator?
As an educator.
This has been such a fascinating.
Good, I'm glad.
Deep dive.
Yeah. I feel like we've gone from feeling overwhelmed.
I know.
Right? By all the complexity.
Yeah.
To having a set of tools.
You're having a set of tools.
To navigate it.
To navigate it.
And we're not done yet.
And this is just the beginning.
There's so many.
There are so many different frameworks.
Different frameworks out there.
Out there. Each offering its own unique perspective and insights.
So our listeners can take that they've learned here and continue exploring.
Continue exploring.
Who's maybe they'll even create.
No, I love
their own frameworks.
Their own frameworks.
To address the specific challenges.
To address the specific challenges.
They face.
That they face.
In their own educational journeys.
Because ultimately, frameworks are about.
Empowerment.
Empowerment.
They're about giving educators the tools.
Giving educators the tools they need.
They need to think critically.
To think critically.
Make informed decisions.
Make informed decisions.
And create truly transformative.
And create. Truly transformative learning experiences.
And that's what it's all about, right?
That's what it's all about.
Making a difference in the lives of...
Making a difference.
Of students.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So to our listeners out there,
yes.
I encourage you...
I encourage you...
To embrace...
To embrace the power of frameworks.
Use them to analyze.
Yes. Use them to analyze.
Reflect.
Innovate.
Innovate.
And create meaningful change.
And create meaningful change.
In your own corner.
Or in your own little corner.
Of the educational world.
Of the educational world.
And remember,
yes,
the journey of learning never ends.
It never ends.
Keep asking questions.
Keep asking questions.
Seeking out new perspectives.
Seeking out new perspectives.
And pushing the boundaries.
Pushing the boundaries.
Of what's possible.
Of what's possible.
Until next time.
Until next time.